This is VOA News. Via remote, I'm Marissa Milton. Afghan President Ashraf Ghani, along with his vice president and other senior officials, flew out of Afghanistan on Sunday, setting the stage for Taliban insurgents to regain power in the country 20 years after they were ousted by a U.S.-led military invasion. Top members of the Taliban Military Commission arrived at the presidential palace in Kabul as Taliban fighters took positions at key posts in the city. Ghani issued a statement on Facebook later Sunday saying he left the country to prevent bloodshed. VOA sister organization Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, reported that Ghani landed in Tajikistan and then left soon afterward for an unknown destination. Abdullah Abdullah, the head of the Afghan National Reconciliation Council, posted a video on Facebook criticizing Ghani for leaving the country. The Taliban swept through most of the country in little more than a week and reached the gates of the capital, Kabul, on Saturday. The insurgents initially stayed out of the city, maintaining they wanted a peaceful transition of power. On Sunday morning, a source told VOA that a Taliban delegation engaged Afghan officials in talks that led to Ghani stepping down. Sources told VOA that a delegation of Afghan leaders will travel to Qatar to formally enact a transfer of power with the Taliban. On Sunday evening, the United Nations urged the Taliban to exercise utmost restraint in order to protect lives and said all humanitarian organizations must be allowed to provide assistance unimpeded. The UN Secretary General is to address the Security Council about Afghanistan at a meeting on Monday morning. And you can keep up with all of the developments in this fast-moving story at our website, voanews.com. From Washington, this is VOA News. Haiti's Civil Protection Service says the death toll from Saturday's 7.2 magnitude earthquake has risen to 1,297 as rescuers continue to search for survivors in the ruins of shattered buildings on the country's southwest peninsula. The number of injured is now thought to be more than 5,700. Bruno Mays, the representative in Haiti for the United Nations Children's Fund, or UNICEF, said the UN was calling for a humanitarian corridor in Haiti to allow quicker and safer transfer of goods and people. Mays explained to Reuters news agency that the UN is really asking armed gangs in Haiti to allow safe passage for humanitarian aid vehicles. So far, aid supplies have been difficult to deliver to the town of Lacaille and the surrounding villages because of gang violence. Meanwhile, the country's bracing for Tropical Storm Grace, which is predicted to reach Haiti late Monday or early Tuesday, bringing the potential for torrential rain, flooding, and landslides. The U.S. National Hurricane Center forecasts 10 to 20 centimeters of rain in Haiti and its neighbor, the Dominican Republic. Prime Minister Ariel Henry has declared a one-month state of emergency for Haiti and said he was rushing aid to the affected areas. Nigerian authorities on Sunday imposed a curfew in parts of a central state a day after a suspected Christian militia attacked a convoy of 90 Muslims, killing at least 23. Police claim Saturday's deadly attack also injured nearly two dozen people, and 20 suspects have been arrested, while 33 victims have been rescued. Northwest and central Nigeria has for years struggled with violence and between mainly Muslim nomadic herders and Christian farmers over control of resources, water and land. Violence in central Nigeria is just one of the challenges facing Africa's most populous country. Security forces are also battling a 12-year jihadist insurgency in the northeast, kidnap gangs in the northwest, and separatist agitation in the southeast. Lebanese authorities and medics said Sunday a fuel tank blast in Lebanon killed 28 people and injured nearly 80 others, scalding a crowd that was clamoring for gasoline in the crisis-hit country. The nighttime tragedy in the country's remote north overwhelmed medical facilities and added new misery to a nation already beset by an economic crisis and severe fuel shortages that have crippled hospitals and caused long power outages. It revived bitter memories of an enormous explosion at a Beirut port in August last year that killed more than 200 people and destroyed swaths of the capital. Via remote, I'm Marissa Melton, VOA News.